What up, though? Shit, what is today? October 25th, 2016. Welcome and thank you for tuning in to the iHeartMeeko podcast. I apologize for my listeners that are here every single week. I didn't put out a podcast yesterday because I had a long ass day. Arden, I got to start over, okay? Can you please keep your phone muted? Let me start over. What up, Arden? Arden, what's going on? Are you good? Are you good? Okay, unmute the phone. I need to talk to you. Arden. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, hello?
What's going on?
I don't know what happened.
You keep coming off mute.
Oh, my bad. Sorry about that.
Do you hear me talking to you? I'm like, yo, I can still hear everything.
Yeah, my bad about that. Sorry.
Are you going to be able to mute it? Are you good?
Yeah, and I'll be good.
Are you walking somewhere? Because I heard a lot of wind, too.
Yeah, I just got inside.
You good now?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, mute right now. I don't know. It keeps coming off mute, though. So can you figure that out?
Yeah, I'm about to do that right now.
All right, mute.
All right.
Let's try this again. What up, though? Today is October 25th. I believe, Tuesday, 2016. I apologize to my regulars that are expecting podcasts from me every Monday. I had a really, really long day yesterday. I flew in from San Jose from the Bucks win. Shout out to the Bucks. Win from the 49ers. I flew in on a red eye back to Miami because I had a photo shoot in Miami. And then after the photo shoot, I had to go fast as hell to the airport, fly from Miami to Tampa because the Bucks had their Halloween party last night, and I had to get in costume and show. I went straight from the airport to the party. So yesterday was pretty crazy, and I almost decided to watch the game, rewatch it last night just so that I can give you guys like a post game or analysis or something like that. But I was like, fuck no. When I saw the score of the game, I was like, I'm not doing that. I can pretty much tell what might have happened based on the score, but you know, I'm sure it might have been a little different, but I didn't really want to give you guys any bullshit. I didn't watch the game. I didn't do anything yesterday but take pictures and have a good time at a Halloween party and hang out with my husband. So I decided today, even though I'm tired as shit, I still would put out a podcast because I love you guys and I appreciate you listening. There's a whole bunch of other things that we can talk about. Obviously, the NBA season is starting today. We can still talk about football. We can talk about the World Series. So much to talk about. So I was like, you know, on Twitter trying to figure out somebody to join me. And I thought to myself that maybe I should have my homie Arden join me since I was on his podcast a few weeks ago. Arden, are you there?
Yep, I'm right here.
What's up?
Everything's pretty good. It's getting chilly up here in New York, but it's pretty good.
Okay, so you in the NY. You wear Timberlands?
Mm-hmm. Not yet. It's not that time yet. I still wear my sneakers.
You guys don't wear Tims all year?
Nah, never that. I mean, I know Twitter likes to say that. We wear sneakers and other stuff too.
Okay, cool. So what part of New York are you living in?
I'm from Westchester.
Your phone's breaking up. Say again.
I'm from Westchester County, the city itself, White Plains.
Oh, okay.
We're right outside New York City. We're literally neighbors. So New Yorkers and people nearby, they think like we're upstate, but we're like right outside New York City.
Okay, cool. So I met you because you reached out to me to come on your podcast, right?
That's right.
So tell everybody the name of your podcast, when it comes out, and all those things. Get that out the way before we get to running our mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's right. basically, you know, this main sports podcast that I do is called The Snatchback. It's a basketball podcast. I do it every other week on blogtalkradio.com. And I do other stuff too, but you know, you guys can always check that out by following me on Twitter at Arden Sports Talk, A-R-D-E-N Sports Talk.
Okay, cool. Now, when I went on your podcast, we were talking about football. Was that like a special show?
Believe when you came on the show, it was definitely NFL preview special, maybe like right before the season start. So yeah, basically towards the end of the preseason.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. And I had a good time. I was talking hella shit on your podcast.
Hey, you know what's so funny? I mean, I tell my friends this. I tell my friends this story as well from that show, which was I was like the beginning.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up. Help me out, please. Help me out.
Yeah, sorry. So I was like, yeah, I was telling my friends how, you know, the show was already going good, and then as you're expressing yourself, then you was like, you know, he's like, Arden, can I curse and really say how I feel? I was like, go right ahead and do it, and it just took the show to a whole nother level. But you dropped a lot of gems on that show, so that was great. It got a really good response from everybody.
Well, good. I'm glad that I got what you wanted. So hopefully we'll get what my fans and friends want out of this episode. So did you watch the game? Did you watch Monday Night Football?
Not really. I didn't. I saw the highlights, but it was too boring for me.
Well, so tell give me the what were the highlights? What were they?
I mean, the highlights was just the Denver defense, you know, being its dominant self that it could be just, you know, moshing all over Osweiler. That's all it was. I mean, those are the highlights. And, you know, CJ Anderson had a, but it was nothing too crazy. DeAndre Hopkins looking stressed that he has to play with Osweiler. It was nothing too crazy.
Wow, you know, I had an argument with some people that were saying that the Broncos should have kept Osweiler and signed him, and I mean they could have, it could have worked out. But what I knew was when I saw that John Elway didn't want him, the front office didn't want him after they drafted him. That says a lot to me because most times, whoa, hello.
Yes.
What is all this
Door.
noise?
Yeah, that was a door nearby. Sorry about that.
My God, I feel so disrespected right now. Come on, dog. This is my
I know, sorry about
podcast.
that.
It's too much going on in the background. Do you need to do it another time?
I mean, yeah, just to be safe, yeah. I mean, I found a good spot, but there's a lot of people coming by. I'm sorry about this.
All right, we got to do this another time.
All right, can we do, if you still want to do today, I can do 6 o'clock. I'll actually be in a more secure area where it's more quiet.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll be in touch though.
All right, sorry about that.
No problem. Bye. Anyway, okay, so I don't want to keep disrespecting y'all with the background noise and all this other stuff. We had some issues just starting off. So I just feel like, out of respect for my listeners, I have to get someone on that is focused and sitting down and in a quiet environment. And that's just what it is. And that was a little too much for me. I don't feel like I had his full attention. So I'm going to probably have to just do this myself. And we'll see how it goes. So, anyways, no, I didn't watch the game. I'm sure a lot of people didn't watch the game. I was at the Bucks Halloween party. So none of them watched the game. And this is probably why the ratings are down. I mean, every Monday night game that I know of in the past, what is this, week seven? I've only seen one game, I believe, that was even close or even a good game, and it was us. It was when the Bucks played Carolina on Monday night, and people were upset because the score was low, but at least it was a game where you had to like watch until the last minute to see who won, where these other games are just blowouts like every week, and the NFL's wondering why they're losing ratings. I mean, you're losing ratings because, first of all, you're punishing players for dumbass things. Second of all, everybody's finding out and realizing that the NFL is full of shit. They're completely full of shit. Everything they say and they do is a lie. Everything. This whole domestic violence thing, a lie. I told y'all this 2, 3 years ago. They do not care if a player hits their wife. Now, I have some opinions on whether or not it's their business anyway, because technically it's not the NFL's business. But they make it their business in the CBA when they say things like, if you do something that we deem detrimental to our brand, we can fine you, suspend you, kick you out, whatever, whatever. Everything falls into there. Eat a booger, get kicked out of the league. Slap your wife, could get kicked out of the league. So it's really up to their discretion what they feel is something that's detrimental to their brand. And it appears, which I just got the news today, that Josh Brown has been released by the Giants, which I believe he should have been released immediately when he admit to the violence, and his wife said over 20 occasions, and then this big ass journal comes out confessing all this stuff that he's done and treated her like a slave and all these other things. And I'm thinking to myself, how come it took so long for him to be suspended or kicked out? It didn't make any sense to me. And if you go back and look at the history of the NFL, to be fair, all domestic issues were suspended one game. That's it. It's always been like that. But for some reason, no one cared. I was the only person that cared. I was the only person talking about it way before Ray Rice, you know, knocked his now wife out. They've always only given a one game suspension. You know why? Because they really don't care. They've never cared at all. And not saying that it was right, but I was fine with that. I was fine with them accepting the fact that, you know what, I don't care. If you hit your wife, if you do this, you do that, we'll give you one game suspension, you get back out here, because they're really just about making money. And they were doing that one game suspension thing just to make people feel better about it. Like, here's a one game suspension. Now get the hell out of here. Like, fine, we don't care if he beats his wife. We really don't give a fuck. We want him on the field. That's truly how they feel. But what happened with the Ray Rice situation is that video came out, and then they were like, shit, we have to do something, because if we don't, then it looks like we don't care. I don't know what's wrong with the NFL just saying, we don't care. We don't care if you beat your wife. We don't care if you beat your children. We actually don't care if you get DUIs. We don't care about anything unless it stops you from being on the field or unless you use performance-enhancing drugs. That's really what they should care about. But for some reason, they care about weed. They suspend you four games for marijuana and all these things. They don't put you in a drug treatment facility to assist you. They punish you so harsh on weed versus domestic violence and all these other things because they're fake anti-drugs. They're fake anti-drugs. They don't care about weed. Let me tell you why. The NFL tests their players from April 20th, I believe, to August 20th. There's a four-month window right there. The irony behind April 20th is sick, I know. But you get one street drug test, one, from April 20th to August 20th. You do not know the date. It is random. Once you get that test, you can snort all the coke you want. You can puff all the weed you want until the next year, April 20th to August 20th. So that shows me that they don't care. They want you to just be clean for this certain amount of time so they can act like they care. But if you should happen to fuck up and decide you still want to smoke weed when you're not supposed to, I think that's why they give the four-game suspension, because it's almost like you disrespectful little shit. We've told you the dates that we're going to test you. But the problem is some of these people have an addiction. They have an addiction and it's they're addicted to things. And it could be marijuana. It could be cocaine. It could be alcohol. They don't test for alcohol, though. But if you have an addiction, instead of fining somebody all their money and suspending them four games, I feel like you should put them in a treatment center. That would help them. They don't care about that. They just want to threaten you with the four games. And then when you come back, you're fine. But if that person really did fail the drug test multiple times like that, you would think that they would be like, you know what, this person has a problem and we should try to help them out. They don't care about that at all. But as far as Josh Brown is concerned, I saw that he wrote that, you know, he has a problem and he wants to get help and he's going to keep fighting to get himself better. He's admitting that he has a problem and an issue. So you won't hear me say anything else negative about that man. I mean, he has said verbally that he has a problem and he is saying that he's going to do something about it. So I'm going to sit back, shut the fuck up and allow him to get better. Because that's really the most important thing right now. It's not to continue to bash him and talk shit about him for the things that he's done. Allow him to heal. Give him some support and some courage and you know, cheer him on at this point. Shake your finger at the NFL because they really aren't shit. But, you know, cheer on the people that are admitting that they have some issues and they want to get help. So hopefully him doing that will open some communication doors for the NFL, and maybe they will think about, instead of, you know, suspending players and kicking them out of the league, helping them get some help for some of the issues that they have, you know, because to me, smoking weed, period, should not be a four-game suspension. I mean, smoking weed greater than all the fucking pills that the pill man gives the players before and after the game. you know, they're fine with you being addicted to Toradol and Percocets and Xanax and all these other drugs, but you can't smoke weed. God forbid you puff a joint. You should be crucified. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. And I really cannot wait for marijuana to be completely legal, both medicinally and recreationally, so the people that can actually assist the movement of proving that marijuana is the most important drug in the history of all drugs. Hopefully one day you guys will see that. And you should start watching some documentaries. The very first one I would suggest is The Culture High. It's on YouTube, The Culture High. Please check it out. It's pretty long, but it's pretty incredible. And it's a good jumping off point for any of you that need some weed information. There's also a show that I started watching called Weedikit. It's on Vice. I'm not sure the days that it comes on. I just record every episode, but it's very informative. Please, please check that out. All of the people that are against weed are the people that really need to watch it. If you already smoke and you do it recreationally and you just like getting high, cool. But that's not the only reason that it should be legal. It really isn't. And to me, our society cannot be free and drug free. It's impossible. Absolutely impossible to think people are free and drug free. It both can't exist together. So we need to decide at some point to legalize all drugs, crack, cocaine, heroin, everything. Legalize it all. Allow people to be free. Allow people to make their mistakes. Because you know what? It's illegal right now. And guess what? People still smoking crack. People are still doing heroin. Still doing lines of coke. You're not going to stop. It's not like there's going to be like this whole big thing where, hey, heroin and crack is legal now. People are like, oh, shit, let me get, where can I get some? Nobody's doing that, okay? Weed, probably. Coke, maybe. But nobody's lining up to do the dumbest shit ever and just say, you know what, I'm going to just start doing drugs all day since it's legal. It's not happening, okay? But what I think the problem is our society is using people that are either addicted or just using drugs for punishment and to put them in jail to make money off of them. I think that's bullshit. I don't think that people should go to jail for doing drugs. I think they should go to jail if they do crimes while they're on drugs, like robbing people, stealing things, hurting people, driving drunk, all those things, yes. But I am perfectly capable of smoking a joint and minding my own goddamn business and not bothering anyone all day long. So why the fuck can't I do it is the question. Anyway, Roger Goodell's ruining the NFL. I know you guys already know this. He's totally ruining the NFL. And I don't know why he makes so much goddamn money. You know, I ran into his ass too. Where were we at? We were in Arizona. The Pro Bowl. He ran. Y'all know that bitch ass nigga ran. I was going to ask him all types of questions. If he sees me, he goes the other way. He's like, I don't have time for Mrs. Grimes. Good bitch, nigga, because I'm going to keep on trying to get your attention every time I see you. So keep running, nigga. You are ruining the NFL. You're the problem. You're a part of the problem. You have this 24/7, 365 NFL access that never ends. Aren't you guys tired of it? I'm fucking tired of it. And I love football. It's slowly starting to make me hate football. All day long, 24/7, access to every fucking thing, even the offseason. All they do all day is talk about football, every single aspect. Oh, this person is sleeping with this person. This person went out to dinner with this person. This person got a DUI. It's like, why do we need to know everything? Do you remember when this is why I wanted to be in the media when I was younger. I used to wait for the Sunday paper every Sunday. I used to be like, oh my God, I want to see what the story is about. This was back when I was a huge Magic Johnson fan. I was a Laker fan. I was just like, oh, I can't wait to see what they write about Magic. Because that's when you found out certain things like where he liked to eat dinner before the game and his ritual and routine before he gets to the stadium and the arena. And, you know, what he does on his days off and what his favorite TV show is. You had to wait for this to be written in a newspaper. Or maybe you would hear it, you know, before the game, you know, the commentator might say some things like, I sat down with Magic Johnson and he told me blah, blah, blah. Now it's like on Twitter, on social media, every single thing that they can find is out there. It's like there's no mystery to anything. Why can't we just like to watch them play sports? Why is what they do off the field, off the court, so important to the media? I get the bloggers and the regular scoundrels of the media, but sports media, you guys should be ashamed of yourself. This is not what I signed up for. I didn't sign up to fucking stalk professional athletes and shit on them and hate on them for clicks every chance I got. I want to write about meaningful stories, big matchups. Who's going to be guarding who? Who's better than who? I don't give a fuck who got who pregnant. I don't care whose cousin got popped for having weed in his car. How the fuck does that relate to the game? It doesn't at all. And it's so fucking annoying. It's ruining sports. It's completely ruining sports. The media, you know why they don't watch film? All they have to do is go on PFF and get all the stats and see what they said about the players based on the stats. And then they write you guys like a 2-paragraph article about stats that you can read your own goddamn self. And they say things like, oh, this person's not good because here they're ranked this. And this person is good because here they're ranked this. When if you could just look at numbers and tell how good somebody is in the NFL, then everybody could do it. But you can't. You can look at NBA stats and say, this nigga is averaging 30 points a game. He hooping. This dude who's a center is only averaging 4 rebounds a game. He's bullshitting. You can say that with stats on certain sports, but in the NFL, you cannot. It's way too complicated. It's 11 people moving simultaneously with the same mission. It's impossible to say via stats who is good and who isn't. It really isn't. You can use stats as your final judgment of someone, but if you're not watching film, you don't know shit. And that's what most of the media is. They don't know shit about sports. They don't know shit about football. They don't watch film. They're not in the locker room asking the players, hey, what defense are you guys running most of the time? What defense were you on this play? What defense? Like, they're not asking that. You know why? They don't give a fuck. They've already decided who they think is dope and who they think isn't dope. And they're going to put this microphone in your face and ask you the same dumb questions they ask everyone else. Oh, how'd you like to win today? Or how'd you like to lose today? What are you guys going to do better? Are they better than you? Are you guys coming? And the players give you the same cookie cutter, boring ass scripted answers. And y'all think that's dope reporting? It's weak as fuck. The players do not ever give any more gems or anything because they know it's bullshit. It's all bullshit. That's why you don't catch my husband doing interviews. He don't feel like repeating no scripted shit. He want to get the fuck on out of there. My check cleared, cool. Like, he's going to play football and get the fuck out of there because the media is full of shit. They're all full of shit. And then most of them, this is what you guys really need to know. The majority of the NFL writers, they go up to the front office and let them stick their thumb up their ass and they prance them around and they tell them everything to say. They're being driven by the GM or the owner's thumb shoved up their ass and they're just walking around with this smile on their face. Take them out to 5-star restaurants and, you know, feed them real good, give them some good liquor, good old boy, ha ha ha, all these cracking these jokes. And then when it's over with, they're like, okay, listen, here's the agenda. We've got to make sure this player is highlighted and these aren't. This is what the narrative is. This is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to say. And these fuck boys and girls sit there nodding their head like, okay, yes, yes, that's what we're going to do. See you at dinner next week. Like, get the fuck out of here. You guys are following these dudes. These are fucking lame ass dudes that don't even want to try to learn the game so that they can give you guys good media. And it's embarrassing. It's fucking embarrassing to my skill and my craft because I truly believe that I have a skill. You know, I work hard as fuck too. I study film. I do a lot of that. But I have a natural skill for talking about sports and I played. So I feel like, ugh, it's so frustrating, man. It's so frustrating. Everything is about money. Everything. That's why the sports in general is being ruined. Everybody knows now that the owners are really just trying to get the most money out of you. Everybody knows. There's no loyalty. Stop asking for these hometown discounts and contracts and all this dumb shit. Players don't give a fuck about that. If they can get $50,000 from another team, they're going to go get it. You know why? Because the owner of their team will drop them because somebody else will take $50,000 less than them. So why do y'all get mad? Why do fans get mad when I don't understand how fans and majority of fans are middle class citizens, correct? You work 9 to 5, some type of salary, I don't know. but you're not millionaires, the majority of fans. You guys know what it's like to hate your fucking boss. You know you deserve a raise, but he won't give it to you. You hate his fucking guts. He does nothing all day long, talks shit. If somebody does something fucked up, the company ain't going to tell the truth. They're going to do whatever they need to do to cover their own ass. And you guys sit around with your family and your friends like, my fucking boss is a fucking asshole. He made me take the blame for this and that. He won't give me a raise for this and that. How do you guys side with the owners and the front office so much in football? I don't get it. It's just like any other job. The people at the top are the fucking assholes, okay? How is it that you know that at your job, but you don't know that in the NFL? How are you talking shit, tweeting another player, telling him he's fucking greedy as fuck because he left your team to go get more money somewhere else? When the majority of you motherfuckers that work a regular job will leave that company to go to another company for $3 or $4 an hour more. If you're making $12 an hour at CVS, I don't know, and Rite Aid says, we'll give you $17 an hour if you quit them and come over here, you motherfuckers not going? You're lying to yourself if you say you won't. You're a fucking liar, okay? You will go. And that's what they're doing. So why doesn't that correlate? Why don't you get that? You're on the wrong side, okay? You're on the completely wrong side of everything if you think NFL player, any athlete is selfish. If they're able to give them millions of dollars like that, what do you think they're making? You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how the owners don't pay for their own stadiums? They make the taxpayers pay for it and they're billionaires. But you mad that a player is trying to get all he wants from a job that generally averages 4 years career? 4 years. That's the average. Imagine whatever job you're working right now. The average person only makes it 4 years before they're unemployed, completely unemployed. Think about it. Wouldn't you want to get everything you could? I would. But you guys just, you want to keep on listening to the lies, the front off. They'll tell you anything. They'll tell you anything. You over here buying all this pink gear and shit, breast cancer, you showing support, you doing your part, and then you find out that the NFL owners make $4.7 billion just for pink gear. Not all the other gear, just pink gear, $4.7 billion. You know how much they give to the Breast Cancer Society and all these people? $31,000 per team per year. So 32 teams split $4.7 billion in pink revenue and they give them $31,000 of it. And you out here talking shit to players, camped out in niggas' mentions, calling them greedy, but you at every goddamn game. You bought all the pink gear, you know what I'm saying? You buying the hot dogs and the beer, you watching the game, you buying all the other gear too, but you're the idiot. The fans are the idiots, okay? There, I fucking said it. You guys are the fucking idiots. You have all the power to make all the change. And what do? You stick with the rich people. Why? Why? Don't do it anymore. Stop it. Start holding them accountable for things that they're doing wrong, for not truly helping. It's wrong. They make the Defense Department pay for that hometown salute military thing. We all stand up and clap and they tell us this whole story about this person and where they were, you know, shipped off fighting the war, medals of honor, all these things. And these are great things. I love the military. I appreciate them for doing what they do. I would never in my fucking life ever be in the military. And I would never allow my son to be in the military either because I know that's scam. But this ain't the show for that. But when you go over there and you're doing what you're told, and you come home, there should be more for you. There should be more. And there's nothing. The NFL's making these teams pay to salute you. The NFL's making players fake as if they're patriotic. Okay? It's all bullshit. And I'm kind of sick of it. And I really can't wait for the sport, for football to be extinct. I can't even lie to you. As much as I love the game, I can't wait for it to be over. Concussions, they won't even admit I can't even get into concussions because just understand, you guys, just please understand, it's all full of shit, all of it. And then you have people like Colin Kaepernick who's standing up and trying to do something. And then what happens? Other people start backing him up. People are losing their job. People are losing money, endorsements, respect. People are getting hated on for things like standing up to oppression and racism and police brutality. And then here we go, all these people, you're American, stand up. That is American to sit. Do you not understand that? You have a right. So when I hear people like Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, telling their players they better get up, how unpatriotic is that? How unpatriotic of you to tell someone they do not have the right to not stand for something. That is your right. But then they have this little thing in their contract. If you do something we see or we feel is deemed detrimental to our brand, we can do whatever we want. So if you kneel during in protest during the national anthem, something you have the right to do, the NFL says they can still kick you off the team for that. Shout out Antonio Cromartie, because that's exactly what happened to him. And people are trying to act like, oh, he played so bad, that's why he got kicked off. Bullshit. Okay. The man was told the week before when he kneeled, if you kneel again, we're kicking you off the fucking team. Don't even think about it. He said, cool. He kneeled again. Do you think for one fucking second that if I know I'm getting kicked off the team right after the game, I'm about to just ball out for your team? Fuck you. Sub, nigga. I don't even know why y'all subbed him in that game. I don't even know why. You gonna tell him on the sideline he getting fired? And you think he about to hoop for you? Fuck you. Shout out to Cromartie. Got the whole check too. Whole check was guaranteed, y'all. The whole entire contract for that year was guaranteed, I believe. So Antonio got paid to chill out the rest of the season for standing up for his rights. Everybody's contract's not guaranteed, so everybody's not going to do that. I have no problem with people that don't protest. Keep your check, baby. Take care of your family. Do what the fuck you got to do. I understand. You motherfuckers that keep talking shit, though, you niggas that keep saying things like, oh, well, what's kneeling going to do? Oh, well, I think it's unpatriotic. Oh, it's disrespectful. Kiss my ass, okay? I had every intention on doing an NBA kickoff show for y'all. I want to do the over and under on the teams and, you know, what everybody's saying their record's going to be, and have somebody come on, you know, like Arden, where we could debate whether or not the teams were going to make that record. You know, that's the predicted record of the media. And I thought that was going to be fun. And then I was thinking to myself, you know what? Fuck that. I'm not doing that shit. It pissed me off when I started reading all these articles and all this shit about the NBA players talking shit, pretty much. It's basically shit talking Kaepernick for kneeling. They're saying things like, well, you know, why is he kneeling? You know, it doesn't do anything. Well, after they say it doesn't do anything, then they go into all the things that they're doing. He's just kneeling. How you really make changes? You start a basketball hoop league for police, and you pay for it out of your contract. And then when the police see that you're willing to pay for their basketball league, they'll stop killing black people. That's how it sounds to me to the NBA player with this dumb shit they're saying. Rondo, that's what this nigga said. You know, we're obligated as NBA players to give back to our fans, support them. So what I want to do is I want to bring disadvantaged youth to games to effect change. Because, you know, if they see me, if I seat them courtside in baller ass seats that they'll never be able to buy again, and they see me hooping out here, then maybe that'll stop police from killing them. And maybe that'll stop them from robbing stores and doing any type of crime or anything that may cause them to die. Really? I'm all for bringing the people together. But right now, I'm not for it. Fuck your league, okay? Fuck your tickets to players. You're shitting on another person, not knowing, not doing any research as to why he's kneeling. You're not sitting here with a microphone in front of you and saying, Colin Kaepernick is kneeling because this. I think that that's good. what I'm going to do is this, this, this. You're not doing that. You're sitting up here talking shit saying, well, you know, the NBA players, we've been doing activism way longer than NFL. I don't know why they're getting all the love and all the shine. Do you remember when the Heat, when they all wore hoodies and they took a picture together? That was way more important than kneeling. It wasn't. Not at all. You're not risking anything. Protesting is supposed to be un-motherfucking comfortable, you idiots. It's supposed to bother people. Kneeling at the national anthem is bothering people. It's making people talk. It's making you idiots bring kids to games and bring the police to fucking rec leagues. You wasn't doing that shit before Colin Kaepernick kneeled, were you? No. So shut the fuck up. You're doing it because he kneeled. So saying that him kneeling isn't doing anything, it actually is. It's making people address the issues. It's making people talk about why he's kneeling. And why you guys aren't supporting him is goddamn ridiculous to me. Coach Fizdale, Grizzlies coach, used to coach the Heat. He was talking all this dumb shit too, pissing me off. Oh, you know, I was right there during the Rodney King riots, and I saw it firsthand how things happened. So you know, what I want to do is I want to bring the community together so we can all be one. Cool, okay? Cool. Let's all bring each other together after we figure out that the problem is we're being oppressed. The problem is we're treated like shit, okay? You NBA coaches and owners and all you motherfuckers, if y'all really want to do something, you know what you should do? You know how you could really make some change? In Detroit, the Pistons. How about the Pistons team protest games and not play until Governor Snyder is fired? Because the water in Flint is still dirty, okay? It's still fucking dirty. How about that? NBA contracts are guaranteed, 100% guaranteed. So you guys aren't going to lose your contract like NFL players. You're not going to lose anything. Why don't you do something bigger? Because you can do more in the NBA. You're not going to lose taking care of your family like the NFL players are. But you guys don't care. You just want to sit here and hate. That's all you want to do is hate. Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA. He made it clear that the CBA demands players stand for the national anthem. For those of you that don't know, it's in their CBA that they have to stand and do whatever for the anthem. The NFL's CBA does not have that. You do not have to do that. But the NBA does. Isn't that crazy that you don't have rights when you become a professional athlete? Crazy, right? It's crazy how you really can't say what you want to say when they put the mic in front of you and let's say you're a cornerback, you know, my favorite position. And they ask you, hey, why did you get burned on that play? And if you, and this is what you have to say. Well, you know, I made a poor decision. You know, I got to get better. I got to watch more film. You know, I got to do what coach says. And, you know, I'll be better next week. You know, I've learned from it. And, you know, short memory. And I'm just going to move on and be better next week. That's what they're going to tell you. What they really want to say is, actually, if you would have known and watched the film, you would have seen that the safety was supposed to be there. I was covering for him. He's the one that fucked up. So put the mic in front of him. See ya. That would be so dope to me if players could actually say what they really wanted to say. But they won't let that happen because they have a narrative. They have a plan. They're not going to let you say real shit. So what's the point? This nigga Charles Barkley, he get on my fucking nerves. I fucking love Charles Barkley and hate his ass at the same time. I don't even know how that's even possible. This dude, he's such a big Kaepernick hater. You know, he's like, oh, you know, we don't have time for symbolism. You can't just be on your knee. You have to do something. You know, what else is he going to do when he gets off his knees? Well, guess what, Charles? Guess what? If you would have Googled, because you dumbass don't ever do research. That's what, another thing, sidebar, that pissed me off. When Jerry Rice's dumbass came out and said he apologizes for saying all lives matter, he didn't know what he was saying. Shut the fuck up. Why is it that people that are celebrities always say things and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. So you're telling me that you know every time you tweet something, it's going to be looked at through like a microscope is over it. But You didn't do any research before you made a tweet about people that look just like you? You didn't do any research on Black Lives Matter and what saying all lives matter mean? You mean to tell me that you didn't know that there has been not one single fucking era, no time in the history of Black people being in the United States where all lives have mattered? If there was, please somebody tweet me, Instagram me, whatever, and let me know what era of time when all lives have mattered in the United States. Because I can't remember one fucking time where Black lives have mattered. Okay, so fuck you with all this all lives matter shit, Jerry Rice. Don't try to come back now and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't do research. Back to you, Charles. Colin Kaepernick has a charity called kidsheartcamp.org. If you look that up, kidsheartcamp.org is the name of it. And I believe it's called something like, Camp Taylor. That's what it is. Camp Taylor. And Camp Taylor was is a camp for children with heart disease. And how Kaepernick decided to join this charity was that's how he got adopted. Both of his parents were struggling to have children, and they lost some children through miscarriage because of heart disease and all these things. And I think some were born and they died at a young age as well. So they decided to adopt, and that's how they adopted Kaepernick. And so when he found out that that's how he, you know, came into his family, he decided that he was going to help the charity out. So there's one charity, Charles Barkley, so you can know that, you know, Kaepernick's not just kneeling, he's doing things in the community. And for the other thing that's all over the fucking internet, he has donated $1 million of his contract this year. And how he's doing it is he set up a website. I don't have the website. I tried to find it before I got on. I didn't realize I was going to talk about this till last minute, but he's donating $100,000 every month for 10 months. And if you go on the website, it tells you exactly where the $100,000 every month is going. Every fucking penny. You can track it. Okay. Who else is doing that? You know, I asked the NFL where the money goes for fines. You know, you finding players for hitting someone or dancing or whatever, marijuana, whatever, they take the money and it says it goes to a charity of their choice. Well, I've been calling around. I've been trying to figure out exactly what charity did this fine go to. When you fine my husband $6,000 for his t-shirt hanging out of his jersey after the game, where would that charity money go? Where would that $6,000 go if you took that? They're not going to tell you. They're telling anyone it's a charity of our choice. To me, they are the fucking charity. They're giving it right back to themselves. But here you are. You got Colin Kaepernick donating $1 million. You don't got to do that shit. You don't have to donate money to say there's a problem in America. Let's be clear. Okay? You don't have to give money. But he is. And he's telling you exactly where it's going, exactly what charity, exactly how much, exactly what day. And you motherfuckers are hating. You're not holding any other organizations to that standard. How about we hold the NFL to that standard and we say to them, hey, you need to make a website and you need to put on there exactly how much of the breast cancer awareness revenues goes to the Susan G. Komen, anyone. You need to show us. We're not doing that, though. We're not asking the NFL to show us where the fine money goes. But here we got grown men, other professional athletes hating on another grown man because he's trying to do something for people that doesn't even affect him. I can probably guarantee you Kaepernick has never, a cop's probably never put a gun in his face, maybe. Probably never got pulled over for being black. A lot of you guys don't even think he's black just because he's biracial and was raised in a white family. When has being black been the prerequisite for helping people? Why do you have to be black to say some shit is fucked up? You don't, okay? You guys need to stop hating. I knew it was going to happen, though. I knew the NBA was going to be slick and try to take down the NFL players that are trying to help. I knew it was going to happen. And now I'm seeing it. All these players are coming forward saying, well, we're not kneeling. It's dumb to kneel. Who cares about kneeling? What are you really doing? How are you really making change? Shut the fuck up. What's wrong with you supporting? What's wrong with you helping? What's wrong with you saying he has sparked the plug? He done fucking lit the match. Now we all need to carry this torch until it's right. A basketball camp for police and children is not going to do it, okay? We need to go to up top. The legislators, the judges, all the people making decisions, the politicians. Those are the people we have to get to. We can have no police violence against black people for the rest of our life, but that does not mean that we're still not going to be oppressed. That doesn't mean that our communities are still going to have no schools and no books and no clean water and no clean air, and we're going to be left behind. There will always be a hierarchy. There's always going to be levels, whether it's rich, well off, good, not well off, poor. That's always going to be happening. There's going to be an upper class, there's going to be a lower class. I understand that. But my people, fuck you if you think my people are always going to be at the bottom. No. I feel like black people should have a chance and an opportunity at everything everyone else has. I think that whole situation where we didn't get our 40 acres and our mules started it off. We didn't get shit. We have nothing to pass on to our other generations. Now we have wealthy, multimillionaire black people who will hopefully begin to pass things on like property and land, you know, and finances to the future generations. And that's the only reason we're able to even kneel and put our fist up and talk some shit, because now we got people with money that can actually say something and affect change and make people make changes. You fucking Detroit Pistons basketball players, if y'all sit the fuck out and not playing those games, I guarantee you some change happens up there. I guarantee you that governor have to step down, because there's no fucking reason he should still have his job. But y'all want to just have a basketball camp and think that shit's sweet. Cool. All right. Please kindly shut the fuck up while other people are trying to do other things, okay? I would really appreciate it. I feel bad a little bit, I ain't gonna lie. Because all I'm doing is talking shit and angry and ranting and all this shit. But sometimes these things have to be said. You know? They have to be said. People have to understand that you can't. Why can't we support each other? What Kaepernick is doing is amazing. I was just in San Francisco, went to the game. I didn't know what to expect. I'm looking around the goddamn stadium. First of all, Levi is bomb. On my bucket list, I have every single NFL stadium I want to watch a game in. And I only have 7 stadiums left. 9 technically, because Levi, you know, they have a new stadium. And I think also the Rams have a new stadium whenever that gets here. But Levi is a dope stadium. Fans weren't there before the game started, whatever. But when they finally got there, there were so many Kaepernick jerseys. Oh, my God. There were so many people kneeling, not standing for the national anthem. And they weren't all black. There's so many people that are supporting the movement, and they understand, hey, this is wrong. There's a lot of things wrong. He's doing something. He's trying to show you that he's willing to be done with his career, because there's a great chance no one picks him up after this season because of this. And he's fine with that. He's willing to lose it all to stand for something. And seeing other athletes hate on that, seeing the NBA take shots at that with their little corny ass, well, we're not going to kneel because that's just disrespectful. And, you know, We're going to do it right. Kathy Behrens, she's an NBA president of social responsibility and player programs. This bitch said protesting the anthem is a distraction because players should be focused on being meaningfully engaged in their communities. So she's basically saying, this is a translation, just go to charity events and support your communities that way. Don't you dare say that it needs to be more than that. Don't you dare say that's not enough. It's not, you guys. It's not. Showing up at a school and kicking some balls around with some kids is really great. I'm not saying it's not. It makes kids feel good. It shows them that, you know, somebody famous, somebody that people actually care about is at their school talking to them. It's all very cool, but it does nothing for the problems that we have, okay? All those things should be done, yes, but it does nothing for the fact that black people are the bottom feeders of this country. Okay? It does nothing. I will continue to stand up for my people and any people that are being wronged. Just like I always stand up for gay people. I'm not gay, but I feel like if you are gay, whether you've chosen to be or you were born that way, because people are arguing, oh, you can't be born gay. I don't know. I'm not gay. But if somebody tells me they're gay and they want to be gay, if they want to be trans, whatever the fuck they want to be, who am I to tell them not to be? I'm not feeding them. I'm not taking care of them. Who are you? So I stand up for anybody that's trying to be something and do something with themselves, and anybody's trying to hate on them for whatever it is they are. It's the same hate to me. You hating people because they're gay? Same things hating people because they're black or white or whatever. I don't do real hate. I don't do real hate. I don't hate people for anything that's out of their control. It's stupid and it's pointless. And even if it is in their control, if people want to do something and they're not hurting you and they're not bothering you by doing it, why would you hate them? Something's wrong with this country. And I think it all rolls back around to money. We need to go back to the barter system where money isn't so powerful, where things like, fruits and vegetables, we're allowed to trade things for goods. I think that would make our country better. It's probably too late. But some things need to change, and it starts with telling the truth. That's what it starts with. Progress is not stabbing somebody in the back and pulling the knife out. That's not progress. Progress is stating, hey, I stabbed you in the back. I apologize. Let me get you to the doctor or hospital to fix that injury. That's progress. The knife is still in black people's back right now. It's still in our back. You want progress? Tell us you stabbed us. Tell us how many times you stabbed us. Apologize and fix the fucking wound. Peace.